Hello, Family Talk listeners. I'm Dan Lawrence. I head up the marketing and communications teams here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I so love this wonderful time of year. Here's wishing you and yours a beautiful Christmas and a happy, healthy new year.
Welcome to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. Maybe you have finally found a quiet moment after decorating your house a little more for Christmas, or you're on the way to take the kids to or from school. Well, wherever you are, we are glad you've joined us today. You are about to listen to part two of a powerful three-part conversation that was originally recorded in April. This interview is part of our 2022 Best of Broadcast December celebration, and our own Dr. James Dobson interviewed Dr. William Lyle this past spring about his work in providing the medical antidote to the abortion pill, a progesterone hormone therapy that can be administered in the first 24 hours within the time a woman takes the first of the two abortion pills to reverse the first pill's tragic effects. If you're just joining the conversation, let me tell you that Dr. William Lyle has dedicated his life and his career to saving the lives of unborn children. He is a practicing board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist in the Florida Panhandle. He has delivered over 4,000 healthy babies during his career and prays that God will bless him to deliver many more. He founded a pro-life ministry, which you can find at prolifedoc.org. In 1999, he purchased the largest pro-abortion practice in Florida and immediately put a stop to all the abortions there. He then turned the practice into a pro-life medical facility, which specializes in women's reproductive health care. And just a brief reminder, this month in December, we have a matching grant to enhance any gift that you may make to us. We have been blessed with this thanks to some very special friends of the ministry. If you choose to make a financial donation to the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, every dollar will be matched and doubled for twice the impact. That's right. Your $25 becomes $50, or $100 becomes $200, $500 becomes $1,000, and so on. We are a listener-supported ministry, and we would not be here without you. Remember, your donation is tax-deductible. If you'd like to help us with your dollars today, please visit drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or call 877-732-6825. We are grateful for your prayers, your support, and your generosity. And now, let's rejoin our host, Dr. Dobson, and his guest, Dr. William Lyle.
Dr. Lyle, we ran out of time in the last program, and I regret it. There are times when something is happening in this studio that people need to hear, and I look up at the clock, and it's over, and that happened yesterday, and I want to go right back to what you were talking about. I had just asked you, when you were a resident at the University of Florida, were you ever put in any pressure to do abortions? And you said it was a Catholic hospital and you were not under that kind of pressure, but today's residents have a different experience. Explain.
Absolutely. There are actually residency-run abortion clinics. When a medical student who might be pro-life wants to be an obstetrician and gynecologist, during the interview process, they will search their social media. They will see if they have a tendency to stand up for life. They will also even sometimes ask them if they would feel comfortable or have any problems participating in a resident-run abortion clinic. There is a conscious effort to weed out pro-life medical students from being practicing obstetricians and gynecologists. And why? Because we know that when an OBGYN uses the tools of modern obstetrics, they can allow the babies to defend themselves, whether it is ultrasound, 2D, 3D, 4D, MRI. The fact that we are doing surgery on the preborn in the womb just screams patients' rights, and they want to eliminate those physicians who will use that technology, use their board certification, use their gravitas to stand up for the preborn. Patients' rights are a huge issue, and when we show how we treat the preborn as patients, there's no denying that. Organizations like the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, they can take a stand and really educate people on the value of the preborn. and the abortion industry, and really the leaders of ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, realized the threat that pro-life OBGYNs show and demonstrate towards the abortion industry, and they want them gone. There is actually a fellowship now that is a recognized fellowship in obstetrics and gynecology. A fellowship is after you've done your residency training. And you can do fellowships in high-risk obstetrics. You can do them in GYN oncology, cancer. You can do it in reproductive endocrinology and urogynecology. They now have a fifth fellowship, which is in complex family planning. Well, during 4 years of residency, I mean, what did you not learn about birth control, whether it's birth control pills? You've learned it all. So what is a two-year fellowship for? Advanced complex family planning is really meeting what they perceive as a need for providers to perform late-term abortions. And that is just disturbing to me. We made a commitment to have healthy moms and healthy babies for 14 years sometimes of training, but then to have 2 years that actually will be used to learn how to take the lives of the babies, that's wrong. And great organizations like APLOG are standing up and saying, no, these are our patients, both the mom and the baby, and we have a duty to defend them.
Well, Dr. Lyle, we were initially talking yesterday about you, your background, and we didn't get very far because we got into some very interesting and very helpful information. But I want to go back to that now. Tell me about your early childhood. You were raised in a Christian home.
Raised in a Christian home, and when I was 8 years old, life changed because my parents bought a book, and that book was called Dare to Discipline. And
now, I wasn't fishing for that. I didn't know that.
Well, they took up the dare. They took up the dare, and they were successful in disciplining, and things in our life changed. I was blessed to be born into a home with Christian parents, went to Christian school, went to Christian high school, and then I went to Rutgers University, public university system. But we were taught that we have a duty to perform kingdom service with the skills and the knowledge that we have. My parents were always involved in Christian school, in pregnancy resource centers. It was just part of our life, and it was part of our service. And we realized that whether we have 70, 80, 90 years here on earth, that's our time for kingdom service. And when we die someday, we'll go before Jesus and we'll be in the presence of our Lord for all eternity. But we're all going to look back at what did we do for kingdom service during that time on earth.
And you're deeply committed to Him.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, this is my passion, is defending God's preborn. It's not only defending the lives of the preborn, but it's also the opportunity to share the gospel. It's about the gospel and redemption.
Tell us about Leslie, your wife.
I have an amazing wife. Leslie, I married much better than my wife did. She's a beautiful Christian lady who was a gifted teacher of our children. We homeschooled our kids for 14 years. They graduated from the University of Florida, summa cum laude. They have wonderful husbands. They are kingdom service oriented. They understand not only the principle of life, but of God's principles of sexual purity as well. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that both my daughters and their husbands walk down that aisle following those godly principles throughout their lives.
And so, Leslie was supportive of your pro-life stance.
It's my wife that really gives me the motivation to keep doing the ministry that we're doing. And we're partners in this. She has a gift of counseling women who have been post-abortive, who have made a bad decision before in their past. And she's there to let them know that we all make bad decisions. We make decisions on things that we do and things that we say that we regret as part of our past. But the blood of Jesus is able to cover those sins. And when it comes to Paul had a bad past, but Paul said, forget about those things which are behind and press on towards what lies ahead. And when we are thinking about our past, when we're thinking about being involved in an abortion, that's not God who is reminding us of our past. That's Satan who is trying to interrupt and disturb our current relationship with God. So, yes, thank God, abortion is a sin, but it is a sin that can be covered by the blood of Jesus. And it's about redemption. It's about that covering of blood, you know, forgiveness of those sins, and forget what you did in the past, but move on and serve.
The last time you were here, we talked about RU486 and what it does and what its implications are. What is it and how does it work?
Let's define what the abortion pill is. And the abortion pill is RU486. And we need to separate the difference between the abortion pill and the morning after pill. The morning after pill is indicated for 72 hours after a woman has had intercourse to force a menstrual cycle. And if there was a pregnancy there, that pregnancy would be passed as well. The abortion pill is very different. It's not 72 hours. It is 70 days. 70 days where it is 98% successful in killing a baby in the womb. You've seen ultrasounds of babies in the womb at 10 weeks. They are jumping up and down. They are moving their hands. They are stretching. You can see and hear the heartbeat. Prior to COVID, 39% of all the abortions in the United States were performed with the abortion pill. Post-COVID, 54% of all of the abortions in the United States are performed with the abortion pill. First, how does it work? There's an amazing hormone that is the conductor of the orchestra of pregnancy in a woman. That hormone is called progesterone. And progesterone stands for progestational steroid hormone. This is the hormone that says, congratulations, mom, you're pregnant. We're going to maintain this pregnancy. We're not going to have a menstrual cycle. We're going to divert nutrition and blood to the uterus. We're going to relax the uterus so it can grow bigger. We're going to keep the cervix closed. Everything that's good about a pregnancy for supplying the baby what it needs is really directed by the hormone progesterone. The abortion pill, RU486, blocks that hormone. It blocks that hormone and essentially suffocates the baby in the womb. But the baby is still there in the womb. So 24 hours later, you take a medication called Cytotec, which is a prostaglandin, which causes intense contractions and will pass that baby. When I am delivering and inducing a patient at term, and if the baby's 8 pounds, I'll use that medication, Cytotec, that causes contractions. And when we do that, we give the mom 25 micrograms of Cytotec. When you are combining the Cytotec with the abortion pill, it's not 25 micrograms. It's 800 micrograms that causes the contractions. So when it comes to the abortion pill, is there an antidote for the abortion pill? Well, thank God for antidotes. We lost over 100,000 people in the United States who died from drug overdoses in just 1 year. We have an antidote to narcotics, and that is called Narcan. Somebody makes a bad decision, and they take the medication, and they are not breathing, and they are unconscious. We can correct that bad decision with the antidote Narcan. We can do the same thing and correct the bad decision of the abortion pill with a medication called Prometrium, which is the exact hormone that the abortion pill blocks. So when a woman has made a bad decision, recognizes she's made a bad decision, and contacts a physician, contacts our emergency line, which is abortionpillreversal.com, a nurse will help her. A physician will be contacted, and we have been successful 70% of the time in reversing the effect of the abortion pill.
Let's walk through what you just said.
Sure.
Describe what happens when a woman is pregnant and doesn't want to be, and she's looking at RU486 as a remedy. And what happens?
Well, if she makes that bad decision and she takes the abortion pill, she has options. And we can reverse that effect. She can immediately contact our website, which is abortionpillreversal.com. She can contact our toll-free number, which is 877-558-0333. And what that will do is put them in touch with a nurse in Columbus, Ohio. That nurse will get all of the information, and then she will contact a physician that lives near that patient. We have trained over 500 doctors coast to coast on the safety, the methods, and the protocols to safely reverse the effect of the abortion pill.
That's fairly recent, right?
We've been doing it for several years. The technology was first tried by a gentleman by the name of George Delgado. He's a family practice physician who was approached by a patient. He recognized in the early days of the abortion pill that this abortion pill blocks the hormone progesterone. So he rightly thought, well, if it blocks the hormone progesterone, maybe we can reverse it by giving the woman progesterone. And he was spot on and correct. My wife and I, when we attempt a reversal, we'll pay for it ourselves because it is that important. I've attempted to reverse the abortion pill 15 times in our town. We have been successful 11 out of those 15 times, and I have delivered healthy babies to healthy moms. And here's a real key. The abortion pill itself does not cause any birth defects in the baby. So when we get a heartbeat and we maintain a heartbeat on that baby, that's going to be a healthy, normal baby. And that's an absolute blessing. I've delivered over 4,000 babies, triplets and quads. I remember every single one of those babies that literally had a 98% chance of dying. Yet then we get involved, and through science, technology, and medicine applied in the right way, we're able to deliver babies. And that's the message for the church. We are using medicine, which we pay for, to buy back the lives of these babies. 98% chance these babies' lives are going to be lost. They're going to die. And then they are bought back with $109 worth of Prometrium. Well, that's the same story of all of us. 100% of us were heading to death. We were heading to eternal separation from God, yet we are bought back. We are redeemed, not by $109 worth of progesterone. We are redeemed with the blood of Christ. We're bought back with the blood of Christ, and that is the message of redemption.
Oh, what a wonderful message. Not everybody in the medical community is happy about what you've done or are doing.
You are correct. We get a lot of hate mail. There are a lot of people who don't like the stance that we're taking, and I think that really—
You're saving babies. How could anybody be mad about that?
How could anybody who's trained as a physician dedicate their career to taking the lives of a baby in the womb? I mean, that I couldn't imagine somebody who's spent years training to have healthy moms and healthy babies take those skills that they've learned and actually take the life of that baby in the womb. But we receive letters by the dozens, actually, of people who are using our name as a fundraiser. We've received letters from Planned Parenthood wanting us to know that a generous contribution has been made in the memory of Dr. William Lyle to Planned Parenthood. And I'm like, I'm not dead, you know, but that's their business. They're in the business of death. It goes back to that: if you want to destroy that image of God, then you destroy the preborn in the womb. Other than sharing the gospel, I can't think of anything that the church needs to be more involved with than in defending the preborn created in the image of God that are in the womb.
California is trying to protect abortion in that state. It's also going on in Colorado, where a bill was just passed that's draconian. It would eliminate every other limitation that has occurred in the past on abortion. It would provide the legality for abortion through 9 months of pregnancy. At one point in the bill, it says that the unborn child or the preborn child has no state's rights whatsoever. It's also occurring in Maryland and Michigan and Vermont so far, and there will be others. At all costs, they want to protect abortion, and the laws that they are passing would keep you awake at night.
It's just pure evil when we look at it. And I love to tell stories that people can use to defend God's preborn. There's a condition called a delayed interval delivery, and a delayed interval delivery deals with twins. And sometimes these are identical twins. And twins can share a sac, they can share a placenta. Sometimes they get their own placenta and their own sac. We had a case a couple years ago in Pensacola where a mom with identical twin boys was in town for a concert. She was 25 weeks along, and she was at a Toby Mac concert, actually in downtown Pensacola. And she's dancing and moving to the music, and then she broke her bag of water. And that bag of water on baby A was enough to get EMS to bring her to our emergency room. And before we could do anything to stop her labor, she delivered twin A right there in our emergency room, and that baby went down to the NICU. Baby B's bag of water was still intact. And our high-risk doctors approached her and said, we have two NICUs. We have the ones with doctors, nurses, and technology. And then we have the one that really does a better job because it was designed by God. We'd like to take this opportunity while the baby is still in your womb to give you steroids to protect the baby's brain, protect the baby's lungs, and protect the baby's bowels. And we'd like to keep that baby in the womb as long as possible. There was a case up in Tennessee where a mom had identical twins. One was born in June, and 6 weeks later, the identical twin was born in August. It's amazing medical technology. I mean, these two children are going to be in different school years, even though they're identical twins, because they were born 6 weeks apart. But here's the evil. Even though it was one egg, one sperm, conceived and then before day 13 divided into two identical copies, the baby that's over in the NICU with the doctors and the nurses had all the rights and protection that you would have in a cardiac care unit. Meanwhile, 200 feet away, its identical twin that's still in the mother's womb doesn't have that same protection. Legally,
there's no mom, logic for
none.
That.
None. That mom could travel to my home state of New Jersey, to Colorado, to New York, and she could legally abort the identical twin that is in her womb just because it has a different geographic location. Our geography doesn't give us our rights or take away our rights. Our rights, first of all, come from God. It's the role of good government to defend those rights which come from God. But for one identical twin to have rights and protection and its identical twin to not have the same level of rights and protection in the womb is how insane this argument has gotten. And that's why we are winning, because the science and the technology is allowing us to give the examples to let the preborn stand up for themselves and defend themselves through the tools of modern obstetrics.
Well, I hate to interrupt this wonderful conversation with Dr. William Lyle, but we're out of time. Dr. Lyle is an OBGYN who has dedicated his life to the ethical practice of medicine, and especially focusing on mothers and their preborn children. We're going to have to ask you back, Dr. Lyle, because there's so much more to say.
I'll be back.
You be back.
This is my passion.
And it will be the rest of your life, no doubt.
Oh, no doubt about it. I want to go to my grave defending God's preborn.
Thank you for being with us. You flew here from Florida. That's a long journey. Let's do it again.
I will be honored to be back.
As in Isaiah 64, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." There is so much more to hear about stopping the effects of the abortion pill and preventing the process of terminating a pregnancy when a woman has those immediate regrets. Tomorrow, we will listen to the conclusion of this three-part conversation. This program and all three parts are from our 2022 Best of Broadcast collection. For a suggested $50 donation, you can get your very own copy. And beginning now, we have a brand new feature and option, a digital download version. This will make playing our Best of 2022 programs faster and more convenient on your favorite device. And if you order the CD set by December 14th, the U.S. Postal Service prescribes that they can have it to you by Christmas. Won't it be nice to have it under your tree for someone you love? If you'd like to make a donation, just visit drjamesdobson.org/best of 2022. That's drjamesdobson.org/best of 2022. If you'd like to order yours by phone, our customer care team is standing by. Just call 877-732-6825. And if you prefer using the U.S. mail, let me give you our mailing address. Grab a pen. It is Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. Once again, that address is the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, or JDFI for short, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, zip code 80949. We are a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air only through the generosity of listeners like you. From all of us here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, thank you for making us a part of your day and for being a part of our ministry. We wish you God's greatest blessing to you and your family. Join us tomorrow for the third and final part of our conversation with Dr. William Lyle.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
You know, I've always thought that kids were funny. I'm reminded, for example, of Ann Ortland's 11-year-old son, Nels, whom she described in her book, Disciplines of a Beautiful Woman. She had taken this rambunctious boy to their pediatrician for a routine physical examination. Before seeing the doctor, however, the nurse attempted to obtain a medical history. "Tell me, Mrs. Ortland," said the nurse, "how's he sleeping?" Well, Nels answered on his own behalf, and he said, "I sleep very well." The nurse wrote that down. "Ms. Ortland, how are his bowels?" said the nurse. The boy responded, "Oh, they're good. A, E, I, O, and U." This boy made an impression that neither his mother nor the nurse will ever forget. See, it's memories like these that remind us of the joys of parenting. I encourage you to take the time to record the memorable moments you experience with your children. Having lived to see my children grow up and leave the nest, I can tell you that the effort you invest in preserving their early childhood experiences will pay big dividends as the years unfold and time blurs the memories.
To find out how you can partner with Family Talk, go to drjamesdobson.org.